Hey everyone, welcome to Past Lives and the Divine. I'm Gina, the host of this podcast, and this is where we talk about past lives, the divine, and anything slightly related. So, as you know, I have been, I guess, always on a journey of trying to figure out who I am, and just especially right now at this point in my life, just with different changes coming in, I'm moving, changes in relationship, I've had some changes in the way I want to work and ideas coming in for the future. And so I wanted to try out one of Ashley Sondergaard and Sarah Leverett's joint astrology and human design reading session that they offer. So that's what I'm going to share with you today. So we met just a few weeks ago and went through this. As you can see, I think both of these tools are just as we start to understand kind of like who we truly are, especially when we're in that space of trying to understand of like, what is it that I truly want and what am I told that I should want, or what is really making me happy and what am I told should be making me happy. And whenever I learn more about myself, especially through something like astrology and human design, it pulls out like these little threads and showing me that like I am certain ways naturally, and it's not a bad thing. And I've always kind of thought it was a bad thing. So I've been overcompensating or trying to shut off certain sensations or feelings or emotions. And we dig into that a little bit today. So the recording is just of that session. One quick thing I want to pull out here, because human design has way more in it and I just don't have as much experience with it, especially like in terms of like you listening to it on the podcast, just to know that some of the things that Sarah goes over are more a little bit deeper than say she would in a typical session like this. So she goes over a little bit high level, but we get into more, just more details that maybe wouldn't be there if she hadn't looked at my chart so much, just over the course of like the last year. So I will say that real quick about it. Otherwise, if you feel like you want a little bit of that magic, go ahead. I have a link to that session in the show notes so you can book one with those two. And just a couple other things before we dive into that session. I will be back in a couple weeks with another episode, so I won't have an episode next week. I'll be back in a couple weeks. And if you are interested in having a session with me, I do virtual sessions. So all we need is the internet. No matter where you are in the world, we can do a session together. So I have that linked in the show notes as well. You can get on my email list. I'm booked through the summer and I'll be opening my fall schedule in a couple months, or actually probably more like a month. Okay, gather around the fire for my session with Sarah and Ashley, digging into my astrology and human design.
All right, Gina, so how we do this, here's kind of the layout of the reading. I'll touch on some astrology basics, really get the juices flowing in terms of like who you are, you know, who you are at your core, which will then allow Sarah to take over and look at human design, speak to some of the basics of human design. And then what we do is we highlight how they interconnect. Where are they really showing us those clear superpowers, those clear motivations, those next steps that you can take? And then we'll have some time for questions. So very much looking at them at overlap. Some of this stuff might be, again, you probably know a lot of the basics, but if any questions come up and more advanced questions, just, you know, let us know as it comes
up. Okay.
All right, Miss Gina, let's pull up this lovely chart here. So chart ready to go. I'm going to touch on some of the basics. Again, you know a lot of this stuff, but reiterating the layers of who you are will help us shed some light in how it interconnects with your human design chart. Interrupt me if you have any questions, but we're looking at your whole sign chart. So it's in those nice, neat 12 houses and can really apply it to your life, to the things that are happening at any given time. So your sun, as you know, is in lovely Venus ruled Libra, When I think about the sun, when I'm looking at the sun, it is very much your energy source. Okay. It's where you're literally gathering fuel. It's your vitality. And so there is a flavor of your sun in really everything that you do. You just have this motor of Libra. And Libra is the sign of balance, of relationships, of connection, of beauty. And I think for you to be exploring this, you know, this idea of relationships and have like a deep and meaningful curiosity about it right now is just a nod to that Libra sun, right? Like, what is my connection to these relationships, to real, real relationships? And how can I gather the most energy from them? Your sun, it's in your 12th though. So it's in your 12th house where it's kind of hard to access this. It's hard to understand it. It gets a little bit murky. And it's 29 degrees. So it's like extremely important. It's like this thicker version of a Libra sun, if you will. 29 degrees is just more of like an auspicious degree point. So versus like 22 or whatever, it's like, you're almost to the end there. You're almost into Scorpio land. But you are definitely a Libra. And I know it's funny because I mean, I know you and I know how easy it is to get along with you. And I know how much you care for other people, but also it needs to be balanced out with what you were saying, you know, in terms of, it can't be fake. These are real relationships, right? These are not superficial. and that energy is drawn often from, I don't want to say from other people, but from that connection to other people, right? So you, before we started recording, you were asking about like, how is it easy for me to connect to, you know, and share, say on the show, on your podcast, but ultimately sometimes have trouble sharing with like a family member. I mean, I'm only speaking for myself and in the podcasting space as well, but I think it's a lot easier to speak to people that understand and like, I know are interested in this kind of stuff, interested in the weird, interested in that occult, if you will. They get it. We have connected on this deeper level. So it's easy for me to share that versus I don't know how my family necessarily feels. So there's just, again, this like connection point that really brings you a lot of energy and vitality. And because it's in the 12th house, it's just sometimes a little bit unclear. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And you know what, maybe that's just the 12th house to me. I think I'm not only obviously curious about astrology, but just like my son in the 12th house. I don't know why that's something where, well, maybe it's because I have a 12th house son, but I just feel like I can't really put my finger on it. And then just being in a space right now where I'm kind of overhauling relationships and really getting in touch with who I am. Libra is like the relationship sign, or at least that's kind of how I think of it. And so it's like, well, I am a Libra. And then I'm just like, but it seems so, you know what, though, I can say the more work I do and the more even digging into astrology, human design, just the more, I guess, validating it is that like, yes, those questions are valid and they're valid probably because you'll just always have those questions, like not really an answer.
Well, and remember the shadow side of Libra is people pleasing and you knowing that. And really working on this over the last, you know, however many years and really getting in touch with this part of yourself is you're stepping into that harmonious space of Libra. Again, this is Venus. This is not, we're not messing around with doing things just for the sake of doing it. We're talking about living in a space of beauty, of love and abundance and ease and flow. And we live in a world that values people pleasing. So it's hard. I mean, it's hard to access that and it's hard to balance that out. But Libra really in its most positive sense gets to get down to the nitty gritty of relationships and doesn't feel like there has to be some sort of like fake version of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Okay. So then your moon over here in amazing Aries. I don't think I realized your moon was in Aries now that I think about this. So the moon, we look to for that subconscious. We look to the part of you. If the sun is who you are in the light, it's your energy source. The moon is who you are in the dark. It's that deeper layer. And often we don't even know, we don't even have access to this part of ourselves. This is that inner child. Obviously with the work that you do, with the self-study that you do, it's very much like you're figuring it out. But the moon is one of my favorite places to really look at these self-study practices. Like, what do I need to unearth? What part of myself do I need to study? And Aries is the sign of the self, right? It is the sign of the self and understanding why I am who I am unapologetically. Aries is that first sign of the zodiac. So it's like, okay, yeah, I'm willing to just be who I am, take that first step forward. And it gets a little bit messy. I know, Sarah, we've talked about this before. The Aries energy is like, it's not perfect. It's taking action and it feels safe to do that. It feels safe to be confident and move forward. But in reality, it's kind of messy. There's mistakes that have to be made in order to learn. So with that moon in Aries, it's very much about understanding, you know, what it is, who you are at your core, unearthing that part of yourself, and then giving yourself forgiveness for it not always being a super linear path. You're always moving forward. You're safe in taking those steps, but they just sometimes are a little bit like to the right and then maybe over to the left a little bit and then they're forward. Like there's, it's not always that straightforward linear path. Aries is a really interesting place to have your moon because Aries is so, so, so individualized. And I think, you know, we're so molded, especially in our moon space, to show up as like some version of the world that we've been surrounded in, right? So it gets kind of lost to have your moon in Aries. It's like, who am I preconditioning, right? And so I think literally like the work that you do in past lives is amazing in order to see like, oh, this is something that's showing me like kind of who I am, you know, in that first breath of my life. But I laugh a little because your sun's in the 12th, which makes it kind of hard to understand. Your moon is wildly individualized. So there's that. And like, at the same time, you're doing all of this. Like you are literally living these out, working to understand them. And I feel like Sarah's going to have a lot of good tips and just like how to kind of connect the dots here. But I guess I'm just saying you're doing a good job. Way to go, Jack.
It's so validating.
What questions do you have about sun and the moon? Anything that like is coming up?
When I think of Aries moon, is it true? I know I asked this on an astrology episode once, but I don't really remember. Is it true that like different phases of your life, Ashley, maybe you and I talked about this too recently or like outside of the podcast, but like where as a kid, you're like your moon. And then as a teen, your rising sign. And then like the highest, fullest expression of yourself or something is the sun. Is that completely wrong? Or
No. I mean, I think it's also so everyone's different, right?
Yeah.
So when you think about your rising sign, that's how you're interacting with the world. That's the mask that you wear. I remember saying this and now I wonder, like now I think it kind of all overlaps. It's just so individualized, but like I think the moon is probably more likely like who you are at your core. I mean, it's your subconscious, right? It's the part of you. Yeah. It's that soul part. Your sun is definitely like who you are when you show up and you're big and bold. So maybe it's a combination of the two. And then, you know, that rising sign, even how you interact with the world, how people perceive you. I don't know if that's like, it's such a good question. Cause I think it's a kind of all of them. But,
and you know, Ashley, as I think about it, I think we talked about that like way back. Remember, you were in that apartment that I was, that Alex and I were renting, and it was, we were working on the first podcast episode together.
Oh yeah. So
this was you pre any astrology training, I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
so that's interesting just to like circle back and have you be like, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh. You know, the moon though, I think is one of the best places to look to see like where, like what you may potentially you're like denying, what part of yourself you haven't gotten in touch with yet.
Wow. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I would say anger can be it's a big signal for me. It's a big part of like emotional responses that now are information and I use it, where before it was just something that I felt like I had to not be that way, you know, like turn it down. And granted, I was quite dysfunctional as an angry teenager, even as a kid and into college. But I found myself like mid-20s, late 20s, into my 30s, like really trying to tampen that down, thinking that I was very much in a space where it's like, if this is pissing me, you know, it was very much, I feel like early light and love culture where it's like, if this is pissing me off, I gotta, you know, I can't engage with it. Where now I basically feel the opposite. So that's interesting when you say the part of yourself that you kind of disconnect from can get disconnected from. I feel that in my journey. That's really cool.
Well, in Mars, I mean, or Aries is Mars ruled. So those are, anger is a relatively natural feeling for Aries to have. Those, when you have a fire moon, the emotions will come in like fast and dirty. That's kind of how I think of that.
Like, yeah. Oh my God.
They're like coming in quick. Versus like with a water moon, it's going to be really heavy. It's a lot of emotion, you know. An earth moon, a little bit more subdued, and then air, it's a matter of like wanting to figure out like why, what is this emotion, and like asking yourself those questions.
Yeah.
So it's just very impulsive. Emotion in fire tends to be impulsive. So, and anger is Mars. So I mean, that's definitely natural.
Huh. Yeah. That was really cool.
The last thing I'll touch on just, you know, that rising in Scorpio. And so again, the rising sign isn't really you. It's not who you are, but it is how you interact with the world and how people perceive you. And I know we've talked so many times on your show about that Scorpio. You have very much a Scorpio chart. You know, your Scorpio ascendant is really key, is really important to who you are. It's that how you interact, and people just don't always know what to do with Scorpio, right? It's so powerful. It's so transformational, and it's so taboo. People are just like, you want to talk about death and grief? Like, I don't want to talk about that. That's overwhelming. And that's in your first house, right? Like that's literally how you interact with the world, to have a show about past lives and about death. I mean, like literally this is it. And so it is a superpower. And we've talked so much about like the different symbols of Scorpio, that like stinger on the shadow side and the phoenix on the other side.
Yeah.
There's so much transformation as it relates to all the things that you're doing with this world. So much transformation. So for you to be on your own transformative journey as well, I think just makes a lot of sense right now. Yeah. Just a couple little tidbits. What do you got for us, Sarah?
So I want to start by just looking into what is defined and undefined in your chart. So what you're looking at here when you first see your human design chart is the energetic representation of what was in the sky at your time of, well, your design, which is decided by your birth time, how it plays out in the blueprint of your energetic body. So how it plays out for how your energy best functions, how it plays out for your aura and how that's going to feel to other people, how you're empathetic in some places versus consistent in other places. So you have a balance here of open and defined centers. So when you look at your chart, you are the most empathetic in these white open centers. So that is your head, which represents your inspiration and your creativity, your Anja, which represents your mental awareness, your ideas, your G center, which is your love and your direction and your passion, your solar plexus, which is your emotions, and your spleen, which is your instincts and your fear. So you are very empathetic, you know, and not just in the traditional sense of emotions, but also thoughts and belief systems and the direction of your life and, you know, your fight or flight, your instincts. So with this, it's this opportunity to be really wise in these spaces, because you have to reflect, because you have to come back to yourself really often in these spaces, because this is where you need the most deconditioning, because you've picked up so many things that now you have to unlearn and get back to your truth. That leaves you very wise in these spaces. So that's an interesting way to look at that. But with the head and the Anja being completely open, just know that you're picking up people's thoughts and their inspiration just as much as you're picking up their emotions. And so just being aware of that can help you like come back to your own and, you know, really flush that out. So if your head starts to feel crowded, just really getting that out somehow, whether it's, you know, pen and paper or meditation or whatever it is that works for you, that's going to be super important. Okay. So then speaking to your type, you are a manifesting generator. So part of what makes you a manifesting generator is that you have a defined sacral center. So this is the motor of your energetic body. And so you're going to have consistent access to your own motor, to your own energy, to your own life force. And just because you have it doesn't mean you're supposed to use it on anything and everyone. You know, this is really meant to be a personal decision for you on where do I want to use this life force energy? Where do I want to pour this energy? And the more you choose to pour it into joy and pleasure, the stronger your energy field gets. And not only for yourself, but for those around you. Because as a generator type, a subtype, you really have this ability to, you know, that traditional sense of like when your cup is full, it overflows. Like energetically, that is how it works for you. Like when your cup is full, the people around you feel that overflow and they get a bump of that life force because you are pouring into them energetically. And so just being aware that like, you know, your relationships aren't going to thrive unless you're thriving, and that's in work and partnership and any other way you want to look at it. And then, you know, what makes specifically a manifesting generator a bit different is you're meant to really diversify and like really, you know, change directions and switch gears and, you know, go whatever way you feel in the moment, you know, and instead of feeling like you need to lock into one passion, just giving yourself complete freedom to change directions as often as you want to. And, you know, like however that plays out, whether it's your hobbies or your work or your, you know, whatever, what you're learning, you know, just really allowing yourself to switch gears often. Because that's really how you're best going to get things done. You know, we have this idea that like you lock into something and you just do it. You finish it. You get to completion. Yeah. But that's not true for you. Like what you're going to produce things when you do switch gears and when you do change directions and when you let yourself be pulled in whatever direction the moment is giving you. Yeah. Does that resonate for you in your life, in your work?
Yeah, totally. I'm really going through a phase where I see that like, not only am I operating in ways that didn't feel good, but like, am operating that way to get like almost as like an apology for who I am. So for example, when I was in the business of like working for other people and like working in corporate jobs, I always felt bad, but it was like after a year, it was like I, at like the 1 year mark, didn't matter how much I liked the job, I would always be like, okay, I got to get out of here. And it would take me a year to get out of there because I would like have the next person trained. I would, it was just like, I would over fucking kill myself and overcompensate because I thought that was bad. That's really, and that is so interesting. Just reflecting on my life right now and then hearing that information, it's just validating. Because I think for so much of my life, I've assumed the way I am is wrong and then just like unconsciously live as an apology to that. And so to hear like, oh yeah, you are supposed to be switching and moving and da-da-da-da-da feels good as opposed to thinking it was like something that was wrong with me, like my commitment issues or whatever. So that's really neat. I like that.
Yeah. And it's interesting because most of the population has an open ego center, which is where your motivation and your willpower comes from. But you have a consistent defined ego center, which means like what you are motivated to do in the moment is authentically yours and consistent. So follow that, you know, like whatever it is in that moment that is motivating you is consistently and authentically something you can tap into. Versus a lot of people, they don't know what they're motivated to do, or they pick up other people's motivations, but you can really rely on that. Like you can rely on your motivation and trust that that's coming from you.
Oh my God, that is really cool. Yeah, wow, okay. Oh, that's really, yeah, that's, that lands, Leverett.
I am glad. So then knowing this about your aura, knowing that you are life force energy that is meant to use that in a multifaceted, multi-passionate way, your aura is going to be open and enveloping and magnetic, and it's going to bring things and people and opportunities to you. The only thing you have to do is follow your joy and follow your motivation. And all of a sudden, everything you desire is going to come into your awareness. But the thing about that is not only everything you desire, but just in general, the people around you are going to gravitate towards you as well. So your strategy then is to only say yes to the things that are going to add to your experience, add to your life force, add to your passion. Because if you're saying yes to things that you really want to say no to, all of a sudden you're going to be burnt out and you're going to be stretched thin. And all of that lovely life force energy that you have access to is getting drained versus getting multiplied. So yeah. Being a manifesting generator, you do have a little bit of this like initiation thing, but it's supposed to be activated once you've responded. It's like, okay, I'm following my joy. I'm following my pleasure. A person or an opportunity or something came my way. It's a resounding yes in my body. So now I'm going to initiate it. Now I'm going to like start that project, start that thing I've been wanting to do, but wait for the right time and the right person and the right opportunity to come your way, and then get into initiation mode, then use that fire to like get things moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the way that you're going to best know how to respond is in the moment, because you have sacral authority. Authority is the place in your chart where you look to find how you best make decisions. And you want your decisions to come from a consistent place. And your sacral center being defined as a generator type means that's consistent for you. So that's why you want to stay in your gut, because your head is not going to be consistent. Your G center, your heart is not going to be consistent. Your instincts aren't going to be consistent, but your gut is going to be consistent. You are going to have a gut response, and it is going to be true for you. as long as you stay in your body instead of your head, right? So just really practicing with being in the moment, responding. Anytime you can give yourself a yes, no question to help you tap into motivation and direction, the better, because then you can trust that gut. So like, okay, I know I need to work today. Do I want to jump right in or do I want to take a walk first? Okay, I want to take a walk first. Walk is done. All right, I know I need to check emails. I know I need to respond to this person. I need to make this phone call. Which way does my gut want to go? Like, give yourself a direct option to respond to. Give yourself something in the moment versus trying to think through what you should be doing or what's going to get you to your end goal. Give yourself one option at a time and go from there.
Wow. Okay, so here's another thing that I've been like in all this talk about, like, what's it like to have a podcast and just like the conversations I've had around that. One of the things that I notice I still have like residual shame over is how I work. And it's literally that, Sarah, like I show up unless I have something that's absolutely due right now, which is just not the world I live in. I show up and it's like, okay, I have like three buckets of work that I think of in my brain with my job. And I just show up and it's like, what do I feel like doing? And then I just do it. And sometimes it's literally like, well, I was going to find a new font for something. And then I'll just like peruse fonts for like, you know, way too long. But anyway, that's really interesting that it's just, I was already working on not feeling bad about that, but now it's just even more validating of like, oh, that's actually just more validation that yes, Gina, trust yourself, that's working.
Absolutely. And because you've mentioned shame and guilt, and then earlier you and Ashley were talking about anger, just remember that you have an open solar plexus. So more often than not, you're picking that up from the world around you. Like, you don't necessarily consistently feel shame, but you're picking up what society says is shameful. And so yes, as often as you can remember that, and just as often as that doesn't mean don't feel it, right? Like, still feel what's coming through your solar plexus. But just know that like, that's not consistently yours. So let it come in and let it go out, you know? And like, not only is it coming in, but it's getting amplified in your energy center because it's open. So like, the world says feel shame about this. So not only are you feeling the shame, but you're amplifying the shame. You know, the world says you should be angry about this. So if that anger comes in, not only are you feeling it, but you're feeling it stronger than the person that actually put it out in the world because you're amplifying every emotion that comes in.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Shit. Feel the feels and then let them go because it's not consistently yours to carry.
So I guess when it comes to like the gut feeling,
yeah,
is that an actual feeling in my region of my body I would call my gut, or is this just like slang for intuition? Like, is it an actual feeling in my body?
You know, you would know this so much better than me as someone who's just trying to like understand it not having a sacral, but how I have heard it is like almost a pull in one direction or another. So like, your body is going to want to pull somewhere, or a sound is going to want to bubble out of your belly versus coming from your thoughts. And it really functions best with an option just to respond to. Like, you're going to have a really tough time accessing your gut on an open-ended, wide open thought or option or thing.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Anytime you can pare it down to something to respond to, it activates your gut to be able to like lean one way or the other, or give you a sound or something that you can trust coming from your body.
Yeah. Okay. man, that would be a good meditation for me to do, is to just like try to connect with it outside of trying to make a big decision.
What practice I would suggest too for that, Gina, is when you're having a like very yes moment, when you're having a hell yes moment outside of making a decision, whatever it is that you're doing, just notice what that feels like in your body. Make note of that. And that, I mean, that's how I've worked with this, with the same authority, is like, how, okay, right now I'm not making any decisions, but I'm having a full body hell yes. Yeah. This feels great. And when I do have to make a decision, I can kind of get closer to a semblance of what that feels like versus the other thing where I'm like, no, that's definitely not that feeling. If that makes sense. Yeah. Practicality. I mean, it's so different for everybody. That's how it's worked for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That is advice I will use for sure. That is helpful for me, because especially in Sarah, what you said about like the feeling being open and feeling like, even if I'm personally not ashamed about it, even if I can feel the collective's typical shame feelings about something taboo, I can feel the collective. And when I say that, I get a lot of people who are like, that's not true, I don't feel that. But it is such a clear feeling in my body. And so that makes sense to me, even just as I kind of navigate moving out of that role and still being in a close relationship with Alex. I've noticed how much I would do things in the wife role, because a good wife should just do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, is that just my family or is that the world? Either way, something in my body is like feeling that on a loud level. That is interesting.
Yes, 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 yes. So two things that Ashley pointed out about your astrology so well line up with your profile lines in human design. So your profile lines are your personality archetypes here, and you have a 4-6. And the 4 is what's going to be the conscious outer expression of your personality. And the 6 is going to be what's more subconscious, and it's going to play out whether you realize it or not. But the 4 line is all about relationships, and so beautifully reflects that Libra energy in your natal chart, because you just have this like natural innate gift of deeply and intimately connecting with people. And you can trust that that's also how your impact is made. So like you directly and deeply affect your circle, and then that just continues to ripple out. And it makes it to where that's also how you get your opportunities. Like that's how you get connected to the right people. And I see this so much in your work, for sure. And then the 6th line is this line of the role model. And this line gets stronger and stronger with age. At the beginning of your life, up to about 30-ish, it's like you're in experimentation phase. You're meant to like try everything, do everything, get a chance at that, see if it works for you. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's totally fine. Just getting all of the experience that you want under your belt. And then starting to turn that inward and introspection, and, you know, seeing what fits, and, you know, really getting down to the core of who you are based off of all of those experiences. And then the 3rd phase of your life, which just keeps getting stronger the older you get, is this like really wise role model figure. Ooh. And I see this really being exemplified in this like Aries moon and this idea of things not being linear for you. Because first of all, as a manifesting generator, nothing is linear. Everything is all over the place. And as a 6th line with that experimentation, that is also not meant to be linear at all. That is meant to be like, try it, change your mind, switch directions, try again, just like really get out there, get your hands dirty. And so I think that those two things come together, and it's like this ultimate leader for your community. And this not only shows up in your profile, it shows up in your conscious sun. It shows up in both of your channels in your chart. Like, you have such a strong leadership chart. It is unreal. And it's meant to be from a very communal space, from a very like shared space. But it's important to realize your influence too, because people, including myself, look to you for leadership. And just to know that about your energy, and just to know how innate that is to you, like, you don't have to try to be the leader. It's just part of your design. And you kind of set the tone. You really do. Like, not only as a Libra, but as someone who has gate 50 as their sun, their conscious sun gate, like, you set the tone for values. Like, you get to kind of have this, like, okay, society says these are the values. No, this is what my community values. And people are going to look to you as like ways to kind of like bring balance and to bring more of like a social order. They're going to look to you for how you're living your life, and then kind of adopt the values that you're kind of putting out into the world. And this place just comes from love. Like, this is not a like mental power thing for you. This is all about like the love that you have for the people around you. But because of that, just being really careful of like guilt and fear, because what comes with this is, okay, I love my community so much. I know I'm a leader. Am I doing enough? Am I doing it right? Am I, you know, like living up to this? Like, be really careful, because it's okay to feel, you know, it's okay to feel. And just know that's not your guilt. That's not your fear, you know, like, you're taking on that from the world around you. Just trust that you're doing it right, because it's just part of who you are.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I needed to hear that.
Yeah, I have some things about two channels that if we have time, I can definitely get to those. But I want to make sure that, like, if there's any overlapping questions or anything like that. Or Ashley, if you have
more. There's a couple things I want to note, Gina, that do really, really amazingly overlap. I'm going to share my screen again. Here we go. Okay. So first, that motivation, you were asking about motivation and relations, and like, not relation, like the relation to motivation. You know what I mean?
I mean, can you get a read on that here?
the dance of relationships and action. And really, I mean, I was so interested in looking at that Mars placement, right? And understanding your Mars and your motivation and your triggers. And your Mars is in Sagittarius. And that connection to the idea of the manifesting generator, where you're so motivated by doing what is authentically you, right? That Sagittarius is really has this motivation for life experiences, for gathering wisdom, and values freedom above anything else. So that motivation to literally go out and experience and just like osmosis all of this information in order to be that wise self. I kept hearing Sarah say wise. And I, you know, when I think of Sagittarius, I think of wise. I think of an old soul. It's really, again, like, you're so motivated to do authentically what is yours, not what is anybody else's, what is yours, because you've gathered all this wisdom through experience. What also is really cool is, you know, we were talking about Neptune. Your psychic gifts are there too in Sag. So it's like, the more that you go out and experience this stuff, the more that's coming more and more online.
Whoa. That is so true.
Right? And you have all this freedom to change direction, and you have all this freedom to go out and experience. And then let's tie it with a bow in the second house of money. So it's like, not only are you going to like enjoy this experience and like travel and turn on all these psychic gifts, but it's also very connected with how you make money. I was like geeking out as she was saying all these things.
That's really cool.
Another note, you know, you're so with that sun in Libra, there really is this call to gather energy from a relationship, from a connection, from an exchange, and then make a move, right? And I think, Sarah, you said it in different words before, but like having that sun, that energy source there in Libra, it's like, okay, like feeling that relationship out and then deciding to take whatever step forward is definitely going to be just a more easeful process for you. Did you know that you're a non-specific manifester? Did you know that about yourself?
No, what does that mean?
So there's a specific arrow that you can look at in the chart, in the human design chart, that tells you if you are like somebody who manifests, like you see your vision really clearly, like you have it really specifically outlined, you can see all the details. And then there's the other version, which is that it's really more like a feeling. It's like you're going after a sense of joy that you don't really have the details. You don't really know exactly what it's going to look like, but you're manifesting that feeling and you're a non-specific. Yeah. So definitely like when we were saying those actions of like making note of what it feels like to be in joy, that when you're doing any sort of manifestation work, you can just do a little stamp on yourself of like, okay, boop, this is what I want to feel like whenever I get to that thing, you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I think that was another note that you might use in some of your practices.
God, that is totally and completely. And I always thought like goal setting is not for me. Like, I don't know if I've ever set a big goal and actually met it. And if I did meet it, it never seemed worth it, or it wasn't as good as I thought it would be or whatever. But what consistently works for me, and it's actually how I changed the way I'm an entrepreneur, is when I started doing hypnosis, I'm just going to do what feels good, which makes sense, like with the everything in the human design chart, and then even just everything that you're saying with like the Sagittarius and like my number one value right now is autonomy, like number one.
Is it weird that that's mine too? Like, it's totally autonomy, and I don't have that. I have three humans that rely on me for like their own life, but it's the same and it's just different. So like we're having that Aries moment. God. I wonder if that's why. That's pretty cool.
That is really interesting. And it just is another cool example of how, and I see this all the time in my client sessions, of how there will be a core value and the way it's lived is completely different.
Totally.
And everybody is so happy, or, you know, everybody's miserable. But it's really interesting, like how much one action or one goal or one direction can actually mean and feel a million different ways to everybody else, which is such a cool thing. Yeah. Cause yes, of course, like looking at your life of like autonomy, what, you know, or I'm like, oh my God, it's been 2 weeks. Get me in the van, or no one is telling me they want a snack or want to go on a walk. And it's like, I have dogs and I share it, you know, with someone. Yeah. Well, this was so good. And, you know, I, Ashley, as you were going through it, like with the sun and the moon and the rising, it's like, I just want you to know that I am just at a time in my life, and I feel like I know a lot less about human design, but it's really like, I'm noticing how much I've always known who I was, but I just thought that was the bad side of me that I needed to shut off, when that's like really the right side. So especially in this time where I feel like I'm real raw, like I like fresh layers peeled off. It's almost like a hypnotic thing for me, even like listening to the horoscopes and the Chani app and stuff like that, of like this hypnotic thing of just hearing a similar message of like, this is how you could be feeling, this is how this might be manifesting for you. And it's just such, I just can't, it, to me, all the validation through human design and astrology, it's just, it's such a healing balm in my life right now, for sure. Otherwise I start to just think I'm nuts, like, yeah, I'm not made for this place, you know.
Healing balm. That's like, oh my gosh, that is totally it. That's 100%.
Yeah, I feel that.
But I do think it's super cool. Like right when you jumped in, you were talking about the house that has about money. What house is that again?
Second
house. Okay. So one of your strongest channels, Gina, you have two channels in your human design chart. One of them is the money line. So I thought it was really interesting that Ashley jumped to that second house, because you have one of the gates in this line is about the leadership part. It's called the gate of the queen. And the other gate is the treasurer gate. So not only do you have like the leadership side of this with resource, but you also have the like responsible management of it as well. And it comes together in this way that's not just about you, but about your community. So it's almost like this superpower that you have, that when you're in abundance, when you're making money, when you have your resources, so does your community. It's like the connections of that. So if you ever feel guilt or shame around money stuff, just reminding yourself, oh, when I'm doing well, my community's doing well. Like the tagline for this is like abundance for all. Not only abundance, but rest too. It's about like managing it well. Like that, the swing of that is like trying to get so many resources that you burn yourself out. But for you, having this thing, let's channel this like innate gift is like, get the resources and rest, manage that, you know, and like do it for yourself. And in doing that, like your entire community thrives too.
That is really in alignment with like where I'm going, honestly. And I say that to Alex a lot, and he laughs because he thinks I'm being he thinks I'm being like sarcastic or something. But I will say, like, when I feel good, I am so generous. But the moment I feel like I'm not going to be able to pay my bills or whatever, I feel like inside of me, it's just this really, really uncomfortable place. And so when you say that, that's affirming, and that makes me feel so excited.
There it is. That is our episode for today. Thank you so much for being here and for spreading the word. And if you haven't left me a review, I would really appreciate a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast. Until next time, take anything that serves you and just leave the rest.